Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. We'll be getting started in just a few minutes. We're still a little early, and I'll give people time to join so we get to quorum. Okay, we are almost at quorum. So while we're waiting, I just want to do a quick review of the agenda. We have three topics to discuss today. First is that Maopeng will discuss the RT catalog. Second, we have a Tiger Team report from Parviz. And third is an update from Bharath about music. He had some questions for the team as the music team gets started.
Good morning, Chris. This is Parviz.
Morning, Parviz.
Yeah, okay. So we are ready, huh?
Yes, just waiting for the final people to join. It looks like we are at quorum now. So I'm going to stop sharing. And I'm going to turn things over to Maopeng to get us started. Maopeng, the floor is yours to talk about RT catalog.
Yes, I will show my screen. Okay. Which? Okay. Last week, we have talked about the RT catalog in the TSC. Now I get some feedback from the community. I will clarify the catalog. So for the long term, there is a design time catalog. and the runtime catalog target architecture is here. And the developer or the designer use the SDC studio to design the models and the recipes. And also they use the internal in the SDC internal, they use the internal interface to do CURD, to do the model design and recipes and write those in the detail right into the SDC catalog. And the SDC catalog, they will storage the model design in the detail, each node, each capability requirements in here. And also they will store the workflow, and they plan to storage the rules, analytics, and event detail storage. This is all those stories in the GraphDB to store those models. And when after the model is certified, they will distribute the model to the runtime. And in the runtime, they distribute the model. They use the, they will package the model into a packed the model into a package, and let the runtime can get it. The runtime catalog can get the package into the runtime catalog, and also they can decompose the package into the template rules and the workflows and analysis some files, also collection files and software binaries. All those email storage in the IT catalog. And IT catalog will provide the self-defined view for each component, and the component can get the view from the IT catalog in the long term. And this is also for the operators can use the IT catalog management and do the operation for the runtime catalog in a unified way, and also can trick the distributor status. This is the long-term architecture. And in the long term, we compare with the design time catalog and the runtime catalog. There's a functions we do a compare. Mainly the design time catalog, we use a DTC. This is mainly for the vendor. When you have a vendor, they will onboarding and into DTC. And also for the designer, they will also support the when you have onboard, check out design series, check in, certified, distribute. This the operations for the design time catalog. And also they may deploy it in a centric DC, this center. And also they in the catalog, the interface, they provide the CRU very detailed for the SDC studio. And also they storage the detail model in the GraphDB and provide a package to the runtime. And in the runtime, we have the storage mainly for the file storage, for the packages, templates, and rules. And also we provide the views for all the runtime components. Also in the runtime component, we support for each ONAP runtime instance, we have a runtime catalog. And also we support the synchronization from the design time catalog and enable, disable, update, delete, and distribute. This is all options from the runtime catalog. And also the operator is the main operator is will use the runtime catalog. Also, we think the distribution mechanism can be reused for each of the component, for the each of the domain, for the DT or the RT catalog. This is the whole long term we emphasize. And for the long term RT catalog benefits, this will separate the concerns of the model design and the model use in the multiple ONAP runtime instance. And this view simplification of design time to runtime model distribution, and also provide the runtime unified package catalog management for the operator, and provide more flexibility allowed the runtime component to do the self-defined model model view and to the data accession. Also, we want to do the consolidation of data storage and management for each ONAP runtime instance. Also, in the long term, if the ONAP considers the federation, RTCatalog in the runtime will also concern the federation is also in the long term will concern. And in the release two, our implication for this strategy is that we will provide the catalog content and the data access and use the SDC SIEM API to synchronize the model from SDC and provide the SIEM API of the SDC to the RT components. And we want to pivot the RT components, RT catalog subcreation mechanism. And if we in release two, so a project such as VID, SO, Clamp, DCAE, and UUI, VFC, also they need to get the model from SDC. We suggest provide the distribution to the pivot to the RT catalog. But the interface is the same and don't need to change their code. And also the SDC and APPC in the release one, they don't support the separation to the SDC. We suggest that if they want to do get the model from SDC in release two, we suggest they directly subscription to the RT catalog. And this is the some agreement. I don't. Also in the release two, we want to provide the RT catalog, not provide the view, just the provide the package distribution to simplify and minimize the impact for each component. And for the API, I think most of the, this is I get from the feedback from the community. One is about the API details and the impact and the migration paths and the internal design of RT catalog to avoid the rebuild view and how to synchronize among the different components, the package. This is the API I wanted to see in the list. This mechanism is from SDC in the release one. And I want to say that is a, in this is the RT catalog. They will consume the same API from the SDC and also provide the same API to the MSO, SO, SDC, and AI and APC. I think this view can minimize the impact for each component. And the component which need the mode from SDC don't change the code, I think, just a pivot to the RTC, the same topic, okay. The project migration path is that we suggest as I said, in the release one, in the release, SDC will stop the topic for the RT components and only for the RTC. And the RTC will start to provide the same topic with the SDC to all the runtime components. All the projects can consume the same topic from SDC, from the SDC in release two, and need to pivot to the RTC. If some projects don't consume the model in release, so they cannot, they can do it with their own plan. For example, policy, they don't have the plan in the future. We should talk about the second. Is about the reviewing wheel. Is there here? I think the data model. Synchronized from SDC, I think there is some projects, some code we can reuse, and also the distributor we can reuse, and the operations. I think this and the UUI, this is new for the RT catalog. Maybe I have showed in the before that some functions different, and also in the data models, I think we need more time to discuss with SDC team. And I know that the SDC team, when Michael has showed me that they use the Cassandra DB blob to storage the package now, they support. We should to investigate the code and to determine what we can use or not. Okay. And also it's about to distribute the release tool, the package distributed among the SDC, RTC, and RT components. And this is, as I said, when the design time, it produce a new package, they will do the pub sub, and that's the RT catalog can get with the REST interface to get the new package. And the package will store in the RT catalog. And the RT catalog will also distribute the package, the same interface to the, all the RT components. And let the RT components can access the new package. And when the package is changed, the SDC also provide a new warning and a new UUID for the package, and also provide a same environmental UID. That is also a new package. And the RT catalog also can get the new package and distribute the new package for all the components. This is the distribution or synchronization from all the components for the release tool. And this is all the questions I have from the feedback from the email and from the community. This is all my presentation. Okay, I think we can, this can clarify all the concerns. Thank you.
Mao Pei.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, just a quick thing on slide 10 and 11. If I, after talking to you guys, I understand that really what you're looking to replace is the back end, right? How the data is distributed, how the data is persisted. But is it possible to have a consistent implementation? It may be replicated a number of times, but are you guys gonna pursue a discussion around having a single implementation of the back end with different front ends for SDC and for runtime components?
Hello, Alex. I have discussed with Michael, and I also sent the meeting schedule because you have another meeting conflict.
Yes,
I said to you that I think the back end of the list we need because the in that meeting I know the Michael said he has some code want to distribute to the RT catalog, and we need more time to discuss it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be good if you could come up with a design where
yes,
where we use the runtime catalog backend, the data store and the distribution for SDC as well as for runtime, because that will give us the most robust implementation.
Yes, we wanted to do the same technology, but I think we, because they use the DB to storage the some files. If we want to support some binary software binary, maybe it's not it has some technology problem. I need to talk with Michael in detail, so we decide we use it or not. All right. Okay.
Right, but I would suggest that we look at it this way. The runtime backend would be robust enough to support both SDC and runtime. And so since you're already replacing, you're kind of creating an API facade, what you do on the back end over time doesn't matter. And so you can actually migrate how SDC stores the information to your new back end over time without much impact on the applications. That's kind of what we should be
trying. Let's decide by the SDC code. Yes, they has a BE backend. And we need to know that now the SDC BE is all mainly support for the SDC Stadio interface. So we need to discuss with Michael in the code detail and how to make them more common. Okay. And at least we need time. But I also want to see in this project we have many meetings with SDC guys, and also Michael and David also want to commit this project. They have proposed to me to, as the committer of this project. We will do many discuss in the late. Oh no, sorry. This is the results. The Michael and David also want to do the distribute commit in this project, and also we need to have more meetings to discuss the detail about how the SDC code contribute to this project, right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Mapping, it's Jason. Do we have anybody on from SDC? I know, like you said, we had the call with Michael yesterday. and I know, a couple concerns they had was around any parsing you might do in the real-time catalog and being dependent on knowing the contents of the package. I wasn't sure I heard an answer to that concern. This was the concern about, if SDC makes a change to the package and the real-time catalog is parsing that package apart, and you have to understand every time there's a change made.
Okay, Rich. I will explain to you your question. Yes, last meeting, Michael threw a question to me because in release 2, I think there is no this problem. Because we just in release two, we just as we discussed with Michael, we just distribute the package to all the components. So this will be the same API with the SDC. There is no this problem. So if we want to, I think your question is about if we in the future, in the long term, if you. We want to do the self-defined views. We will decompose those the package into the each files, and this will promote your questions. As I think for the long term, I wanted to say that RTC want to. This is the basic idea. Maybe in the long term to talk, I will. I think the RTC want to plan to provide a tool to define the self find for the each RTC component of views. We want to provide a tool in a GUI to portal to define it. And when the SDC package artifacts is changed, the RTC can redefine the view online and to make it possible for each of the runtime component to do the review. This is just a basic idea. Maybe we need to change or to do it more automatically, and they need time to do it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Just another question for you. I mentioned this to Michael, and he wouldn't give any commitment yet, but would you be open to being a sub-project under SDC? And let me explain a couple of reasons why. One is, like you said, there's a lot of code from SDC that they're willing to sort of share with you as seed code and into the real-time catalog. So, there's a fair amount of what could be potentially common code. Second is some of this dependency that we just talked about and understanding the definitions of it. So, I mean, to me, it makes sense. I don't know that the SDC team is ready for that yet, but are you at least open to that possibility of being a sub-project under SDC?
I have talked to SDC, Michael, and I have agreement with them that the runtime catalog is an independent project. I also, he sent the mail to the whole community. I think he confirmed this. If anything changes, I don't receive their change the meal. So I think until now, we still get the agreement that the SDRT catalog is still an independent project from SD, because SDC, if we do like this, we found the long term, and we will separate the concerns and let the SDC more concerned on the design time, and let the also we will simplify the interface between the DT catalog and RT catalog, and make the SDC more concerned on the design time, and the runtime catalog more concerned on the runtime. Okay.
Yeah, and that was my understanding too, is that STC, you know, wanted to keep those separation of concerns, and that's why they're supportive of a real-time catalog project. I just wonder if we couldn't still accomplish that separation of concerns by having the real-time catalog as a sub-project.
So I think logistically, it would actually be lower risk for the release to have it separate. You know, because SDC can release independently, and all the other projects can go directly to SDC if there's an issue, it is going to simplify the reporting and the milestone checks to have these scopes of work independent and monitored independently by Gildas rather than trying to put them together.
But if you want to pivot the APIs, or pivot how who calls whom in release two as well, that would be a major change, right?
Yeah, that would be something that definitely has to require coordination, but we do that with other projects as well. So it would, you know, clearly they've got to have some meetings with the STC team as this is proceeding.
But you're switching the subscriptions from something that's been around to something that has not. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that other thing that kind of worries me a little bit, right? But I also believe that in the long run, you know, we need a single catalog with multiple views, and you can achieve that by doing the pivoting that Tom Peng described. But it's just how much you want to bite off and release. In terms of S3, whatever it is, PU and
Google. Yes.
Hi, Alex. I believe, and what we meet an agreement is that, and maybe we can use just the back end, same back end. It's not means we use the same API and the same logic. And yes. I think API and logic, they are all the difference. Only thing, and we would be and discuss with the SDC team is, and if we can share the same backend. Yes. So
yeah, if you made the actual processes or workflows within the backend policy driven, so we could construct the right ones for SDC and the right ones for the runtime, that would be ideal.
Until now, we have not made these decisions, and how much and we can share this backend. And what you just mentioned is some and suggestions, and we did not see that part of the code. It's model driven or something like you mentioned. So, and until now, and our understanding is something like we just share same database or same technology of this database. So, I think. And we can reuse some code from the and SDCs, and we will and talk with the SDC teams and in futures. Yeah.
Chris?
Yes.
Hi, David. Sorry, I was on mute on both the application and the mobile, so I tried to speak multiple times until I figured it out. Just to make sure I understand, the proposal is to have the runtime catalog as a separate project or a sub-project within SDC?
The current proposal is separate.
Okay, so I think that, you know, I think that it might make more sense for, at least for Beijing release, to have the runtime catalog, a sub-project of which is part of SDC, because most of the code is going to come from SDC. It seems, at least, that SDC is going to contribute most of the code base. So I think it would help to have that as a sub-project, and that project will handle everything internally. All the, you know, hand over the code, knowledge share, etc. And at the end of, you know, and we, for Casablanca, we could revisit this, revisit that and see whether it makes sense to have the runtime catalog a separate one, separate project, or continue via sub-project. Especially, you know, especially that we're currently discussing maybe to have the same catalog, the edition, the same catalog, the design time, and the runtime. Maybe, you know, maybe it would be not just a runtime catalog. We have a catalog project which include both the runtime and the design time.
I think if you could come up with that approach, that would be ideal, and you could make it work, right? But at least the barrier to entry to me is you can build two different things, but base them on the same implementation, just like we're talking about doing in the SO and the RO layer.
What do you think about that approach, Maopeng? Does that work for you?
I think here, wait for a while. I think, as David said, because last I have talked a meeting with Michael, and he showed there what they want to contribute. We think we need more time to investigate what they just we said we hear. I think if we accept that the runtime catalog as a separate project, and this it will make the SDC more concerned in the design time, and that the runtime can do it separately. Also, I welcome also the some code contributed.
But starting out as a sub-project, is that problematic? I mean, it really doesn't, you know, from a functional perspective, you guys are going to agree on who does what anyway, but keeping it as a single project logistically would be kind of, you know, maybe better. I guess that's what I heard David say. I don't know.
The suggestion was just for the first release and then reevaluate a split after Beijing.
Casablanca.
Yeah. Yes, if we wanted in Casablanca separate, I think in release 2 we can do it. Because if the function is accepted, and I think if in the Casablanca we wanted to do as a separate project, I think in the release 2 we don't do it again. I think in release 2, as we have agreed, the IT catalog as a separate project. Also, I also said that I welcome the SDC, David and Michael to contribute the code here. I think the we need a couple of meetings to discuss how to import the results here, and I get the code to make the project successful.
Oh.
And so maybe that's a good idea, because I mean, I'll be straightforward here. I'm not a fan necessarily of the approach of multiple catalogs, and I think it introduces a lot of risks to us. And I think one way to mitigate that risk would be to have some common leadership, you know, across those projects. And so that's the way I would advocate having a
catalog. Yes, I would agree with that. Common leadership and even common data model and policy and the relationship between them. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, for example, we have the same framework to govern the models of the both catalogs and govern the translation between the two. That would be best. Otherwise, there can be feedback to change in one component, okay? So if we push that change into the design time of one component, it can conflict with the other. So it could be in the queue option from other components. So that's better. We have one common leadership of the two catalogs team.
Okay.
Yeah, picking up enough change management of one component. Yeah, can have to wait for the agreement of other components.
I would agree with that, Lee. I think if we have a single notion of a life cycle model for what's in the catalog and how we manage change and configuration and everything else in a consistent way, then I think that would be best.
Actually, regarding the package lifecycle, I have a question when we finish this, and that might relate to this discussion.
Go ahead.
Can you go to slide 3? Martin, could you move to slide 3? 03.
No, not least, I think.
Go towards the beginning.
Yes.
At the beginning.
This?
That one.
Yes, that one, yes. Here, I had 2 questions. One is, we have per runtime instance. What's the runtime instance? Could you clarify that, please? And then my second question is, I was thinking about the life cycle here, and having the delete in the runtime may be confusing, and the update. And the reason I say that is that if in the design time, you're designing a service that you're assuming that you can use this particular package. Now you've deleted it from the runtime. That service won't work now. So I'm wondering so there's the 2 questions. What's the it per instance? And do we need I understand the disable, but do we need the delete, or should that be only in the design time view?
Oh, okay, I explain to you that the runtime instance is about the ONAP. For example, one ONAP instance in New York, and the other ONAP instance in another city. So each city, we can see this is ONAP runtime instance, okay? But the design time, we can use one, and the one design time can serve for 2 ONAP runtime instances, okay?
Okay.
Why
wouldn't the package definition area be the same?
Can you clarify? Package?
Why do we have different? I mean, here you got different life cycles in each instance. So a package could be deleted in one city and still enabled in another city, and it kind of seems to optimize for problems.
No. I think this here. I can explain to you. In the design time, they distribute the package to the runtime. And maybe the design in the runtime, if for the operator, if some packages don't used, they can no instance use the runtime operators to can delete it as they decide. The operators.
Okay. So the life cycle of the package is not per instance. That's for the whole runtime. Okay. That is that correct?
I think this is decided by the operators of each ONAP runtime instance. They can decide what they want to do for the runtime.
Mopeng, I think the question here is more along the lines that when you press delete in random catalog, I think what they mean is that you need to notify all the different components that they need to stop using this specific package. Because yes, if you delete it, you need to distribute the whole concept of the delete in the catalog, regardless if it's a runtime catalog or the design catalog, is problematic because the instance is already in the air and they're using it. And in case they need to restart anything or such, it means that the concept of deletion is very problematic. You need to perhaps archive it and retire it after all the instances that are using this package have been upgraded. This is a problematic concept. I'm not sure we want to tackle this as, at least, I'm not sure even in Casablanca.
One option is that the...
This is long-term functions. I think the delete function, they will check all the instances don't use the package. And if we do the delete, we also need to delete not only the catalog, but also notify to all the runtime components that they also delete.
I wonder whether the delete at all should come from the runtime. I can understand mark for delete so that you don't use it anymore, but now you have the potential for inconsistency between this and the service designer. So it's deleted, it's removed. Now I'm designing a service in the service design and creation, and I'm relying on the existence of that, but you've deleted it from the runtime. So I was kind of wondering whether the real time is sort of marked for delete and the design time is the one that actually deletes. But I think this is a topic that needs further work.
I agree.
I think if we want to disagree, delete, I think this is the package. I want to say the package is not used anymore. So we can delete in the runtime. If we only add and no delete, so the runtime catalog will be bigger and bigger. We should have some mechanism.
We're not talking.
Okay.
I mean, yes. Given the amount of storage that we have, I don't think we're talking this been filling up. But not from that problem. I can understand it from a management problem. I think we need to go through and sort this out a bit. But at the moment, I'll be more comfortable if this was marked for delete and the delete in the real the design time. But I'm not a catalog expert, but I was just trying to think about the life cycle, how these two work together.
So I apologize. I might have missed this. But is the same set of service packages delivered to each ONAP instance, or do... Does the core ONAP instance get the core services and the region one ONAP instance get the region one services? Was that question answered?
Yes, I think that this is kind of the scenarios and what you just mentioned, and might be one scenario. Some is in the and core areas, some is in the and edge areas. And there might be some other and scenarios, and based on the different and carriers on their policies, how to deploy the ONAP, how to deploy the design time and runtime. For example, in China, we have more than 20 and provinces. Each province, they are independent, provide some service. Some province, they might have the different service with the other province. But usually, And the operators, they intend to have one centralized designs and centers. So in these scenarios, they might be have such kind of requirements. But I believe we can and discuss it and these scenarios and in futures. And these times we have and discussed and with and some carriers and about this and requirements. Yeah.
So Steve, your point is that if we want to remove a service type from a runtime instance, the way we should do that is change the distribution policy and have it be withdrawn instead of deleting it. Is that, I think, what you're saying?
I think it's a part of the and design work in these projects, and our proposal and is that and just like Morgan has mentioned, we will provide some mechanism to check if this service package have used or not used.
Okay, but it still doesn't answer the problem that I raised. You've deleted it from the runtime, but it's still relied upon by the service designer in the design time. And now they design something, and then they rely that this package is package is available. They push it out, and it's not available because you've deleted it. So, isn't it better that the runtime marks it for delete, and when the design time doesn't want this anymore, it actually does the removal? But it could also relate to the distribution policies, as you say, which gets complicated.
I think maybe this requirement we can get from some service provider. I think some service provider need a runtime, they need the delete or some options CUID for all the runtime. The operators need to control all the packages. But maybe some service provider they need. To deed all the status from the design time. I think this is different. We can consider this those requirements from different service provider and to concern those lifecycle management of the package and the catalog in each domain.
The issue I see is that we're considering them runtime only and design time only, when really the life cycle goes across both.
No. I think this requirement decided by the service provider. If one service provider wants to do all the catalog in design time or runtime, they did all the operations in the design time. I think that maybe it is okay, and also
we're talking here about in the architecture about having a consistent ownership architecture, and what you're saying leads to inconsistency.
We support both. In the runtime we support these operations, and if the design time need to delete, they can invoke this function. Okay, if we don't provide that, they cannot do that.
Yes, and maybe they shouldn't.
I think we just provide a flexibility. This capability to do that, and I just mentioned that there must be some kind of scenarios that one service is just designed for one on-app runtime and environment. For example, one province and another and service is for the other and some place. Yeah.
So let me see if I can summarize and wrap this up. What I'm hearing from everybody is that this is useful work. There's still some disagreement and some extra work that needs to be done to clear up the whole catalog model long term. But the suggestion is to run the runtime catalog as part of SDC so that it can be done in conjunction with the design time catalog, at least through the Beijing release, to get this work moving, especially using common code for both pieces of it. And then as part of the Beijing release, the team can study the best way to do the catalog going forward, and then come back with an updated proposal for Casablanca about potentially splitting into separate projects, if that makes sense, or remaining together, if that does. Did I capture this correctly?
Yes, Chris. I have just one other question I'd like to raise. Mm-hmm. Is our aim for Beijing to use the runtime catalog as the distribution for distribution to the runtime components? Is this our end goal for Beijing?
Not for all of them. Essentially we're using the same mechanism for most of the projects, but there were a few target projects as a minimum viable product for the runtime, which, if I remember correctly, were SO and BID. So the distribution would be for those two through the new mechanism first, and everything else would use the existing mechanism.
I have a problem with that approach because we can't mix and match in this concept. It's or all the components move to the new model, or just part. We can't move part of the components. This will create inconsistencies in the catalogs. Because the model is based on the fact that the idea is that the RTC is using the SDC distribution model. That model is built around the concept of topics in DMAP. Now, we won't be able to publish just part of the components. It will create a misalignment in the catalogs. We need to decide, or all the components are moving to the runtime catalog, or we are pushing the move to Casablanca. I don't think we will be able to have a split. We'll have such sort of a split brain here.
And also, just to clarify, if I understood Michael's discussion yesterday, you know, that each there is no migration necessarily by the end projects, because it would appear if the real-time catalog uses the same topics and distribution mechanism, it would be transparent to the end projects.
Correct.
His point is one or the other, either real-time catalog or SDP needs to publish, you know, the package out there, and you can't have both do it because it's a shared topic, and that's what the end project was.
The key here is that you need to consider one holistic life cycle, both from the design time phases and the runtime phases. Otherwise, you're going to end up with all sorts of situations that Stephen has described, plus a few others that that we probably didn't even think of yet.
That's a complex area. I agree.
That was exactly why I raised the question that what is our goal for Beijing? If we are saying that our target goal is that everybody uses the runtime catalog, that's okay. That's a big stretch goal, because it will require a lot of work on the RTC side, because they'll need to recreate all the SDC logic on their side. We'll assist them with basic seed code, but they will still need to have a lot of work. And this is challenging in the time frame that we currently have. This is exactly why I'm asking if this is our goal for Beijing or for Casablanca.
Yeah. Maopeng, what are your thoughts on that?
I think first we can propose the projects to the TSC, and the projects is published in release 2 or release 3. I think this is another issue we can discuss with Michael, and we should confirm the more. I think there is a more technical issue, which code can be get from the SDC, and how this project cooperate together, and we can decide. And also, I need to talk with all the PTL of the project, and even we do this with the API, don't change, but we need to talk with the PTL.
You don't actually need to talk to them, because you are reusing the same mechanism as SDC yeah. users. They're using the same distribution client and the same model. From the component's perspective, it's supposed to be, the whole concept is supposed to be seamless. They're not supposed to be impacted. They will receive a distribution of a package as they received up until now. The only difference will be that it will be from the runtime catalog and not from the SDC.
Yes, because we will do the integration with all the projects, so we need to talk to them. Because I have talked to some projects, PTR, they also concerned, even if there are no code change, they also concern the integration, how to do the integration. So I need to talk with them. Another issue is about the how we do the project together. And if we have the resource, we have more resource, and we can do it in the release tool, I think we can decide publish in the release tool. Or because the time M1 is passed, so the time is very limited for us. We should to analyze the work and the time in the release tool. So I think the first we should to decide the project and learn we can to do the project plan for inside the project. Okay.
So what I'm hearing then is for Beijing, essentially this is an evaluation. It's doing some more thinking about the catalog. It's getting the seed code going, but it's not pushing the models out to the different components. We still use SDC for that, but it's really a preparatory phase for Casablanca when you'd be working more closely with the other projects. Do I hear that right?
Yes, Chris, I think our Beijing release is our stretch goal. And yes, it's okay. Our stretch goal, yes.
Okay.
And maybe Casablanca is also okay, but it depend on our hard work. If we hard work, we can do it in the Beijing.
Hold on. Chris, clarification question, this Parviz. So on this page 9, you're listing SDNC between R2 and future release. What that means?
Wait, just
SDNC app.
Pause a little bit, Parviz. What we were talking about here is that instead of doing a phase migration, it's got to be a flash cut. So we're figuring out exactly when that has to be. And what we're hearing now from the team is that most likely it's going to be in Casablanca, but the stretch goal would be to do it in the Beijing release. That decision can be made a little bit further down the road. In the meantime, they're going to be doing a lot of the prep work that would be necessary to get the project started.
Yeah, then can I raise a follow-up question on SDNC? Let's say we implement a geo-redundancy feature. As a component, there are multiple replica of SDNC. It could be not necessarily co-located. So how would you rely on this different cities? They have their view of the real-time catalog. A component like SDNC, how can really look into different views and try to sync up with all the information that are available? That is that captured anywhere here?
Can you please clarify the question? You're saying that SDNC is geo-redundant and it's looking at a number. You say yeah. You have one instance of SDNC and it's handling a couple of regions. And on top of that, you're saying that you'll have a number of runtime catalogs, one for each region?
Yeah, according to Mopping's explanation, he mentioned an example, like in China, there are 20 plus provinces. If each province, they deploy a different set of services, so the view for the runtime catalog doesn't overlap from region or province to province. Now, you deploy SDNC and you have this geo-redundancy feature enabled for R2. Let's say that, then the question is, if there are services that SDNC as a global controller would need to have a common view across different regions, so how that is handled? Is that something that has been
deployed? I think, again, in my opinion, as far as I saw deployments, in my opinion, there should be one, again, perhaps I'm mistaken in my opinion, but as I see it, there shouldn't be one SDNC across different regions. Each region should have its own SDNC, since it's monitoring and configuring a specific region. Perhaps my understanding is incorrect, but in my view...
Well, there might be network partitioning, but I mean, it'll be clustered SDNC, and you might partition the data potentially.
Well, there is a sync function shown on a slide 3. Yeah, if you go to slide 3, there is a sync function.
Hi, Parij. If I understand correctly, you see something about the ONAP runtime instance federation, right?
Yeah, you mentioned that. Now we go back
I think this will be in the ONAP runtime instance federation is not clear for all the architecture, right? So if we talk it, IT catalog federation will also be considered. I think this is long term. If we in the release 2 we talk about, I think it is not possible, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that
okay.
is.
In the long term, yeah. We will talk it further. Okay.
Yeah, but okay. So for geo redundancy, if we enable that in R2, even in R3, then we need to make sure that the SDNC view of the runtime catalog is consistent from different regions. Yeah.
Yes, I think that if the SDC from, you said the SDC also will also belong to one ONAP instance, right?
Not exactly.
There is SDC and SDNC. There are two different things.
SDNC. SDNC also belong to one ONAP runtime instance, right? I don't know the federation architecture. It is a very complex issue. If we wanted to talk less, we can talk it. I think not in this.
Okay. Project, okay. That's okay. That's a clarification. Yeah, we need to clarify that.
Okay. Thanks. So we can table that and take it offline for when we bring in geo redundancy for the whole system. Okay, any final thoughts before we move on? Okay, thank you, Maopeng. Let's move on to the next topic. That's Parviz, Tiger Team update.
Okay. Could you...
Yes, I will stop. Okay.
Thank you.
Because the network is not very well, so it's very, very late, slowly.
Okay, guys, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, Chris, based on the discussion we had last time, we had follow-up meeting with the Tiger team. We focused on the changes from, at least for the Beijing architecture. There are certain areas that are highlighted as a summary of those changes. One of the biggest areas that came up, on top of that, what we said last time, the architecture, of course, even for R2, should keep the eyes on the three principles. It should be model-driven, it should be microservices-based, and also it should be, more importantly, modular architecture. But then the team, they actually corrected and enhanced their phrasing and the wording. We said that it should enable integration with other system via MSP/proxy. So that is a clarification from last time. There was a strong argument that we should enable secure communication between internal and external components. That's a new addition. Of course, they improve APIs for better consistency between components. We have been saying that from day one. And of course, the PTLs, they are working towards to achieve that goal. Align with models from modeling subcommittee. Initially, we referenced the modeling book that was published in December last month, but there was a comment that the modeling work should be updated soon, perhaps mid-February. So we put that as appropriate. If the modeling committee, they publish their work like in a couple of weeks, then that should be more appropriate than just mentioning December timeframe, which was last month. Then the use of OOM for instantiation and registering with the microservices bot. So these are the high points for the PTLs to really target whatever implementation they are envisioning for R2, and keep in mind that these are the guidelines and the recommendations from the architecture team, okay? The next one is the detailed recommendation for the Beijing Rally. So we already mentioned that the architecture principles, modular, microservices-based, and model-driven. For the modularity, again, we are stressing the fact that the PTLs, they should really take their best, you know, effort, put in their best effort based on the resources that are available to improve APIs. There are certain areas that we have spotted that how would you improve those APIs, okay? And we already mentioned last time that documentation using Swagger is one way, actually the right way to go about that. The alignment for all the interfaces, using the standards that are available and is applicable. So the plan is to not mention any specific standards because there are different variation of the published specification, even from Etsy. So we are going to just simply say that the alignment with interfaces with the SDOs, not specifically mention whether this is Etsy Soul or IFA or whatever. That is a final decision that has to be made by the PTLs, okay? The microservices-based, again, this is a notion of using OOM for onboarding, instantiation, support MSP natively, and then it brings the scalability in the picture. Register with MSP, and then use the best practices for microservices, okay? And there are a number of examples mentioned. The model-driven work, again, we are now using this published version of the modeling work in February 2018. That is the best data that we have today. If that changes, Chris, then we need to update that. We are hearing that the modeling subcommittee is going to publish their work sometime next month, okay? Explore ways to use model-driven principles. And that is primarily for various ONAP components like STC, APC, VFC, and more. And then the main theme for the R2 release, which is SDP and the carrier grade aspects. Again, you wanted to reference the work from Jason, which is fine. And then we had discussion with the Tiger team. There was a strong notion of that we should stick to the cloud native principles. And we got two links for references for readers if they want to read more about that. The cloud native principles is one of the strong recommendation points from Tiger Team for you to share with the TSC. Use common libraries, common services, and more. More focus on common services to reduce testing and using like music for managing various ONAP components. We already talked about that last time. state management, state synchronization across different components, and then enhance the authentication authorization framework to support credential management and certificates. This is a separate project already going on to CMS. Support image management, as we discussed last time, for virus checking and enhanced security. So these are the list of recommendations, Chris, we kind of improved based on the discussion we had last time. And then what I did, for the rest of the package, I talked to the PTLs, and I added the missing component based on the PTL's input. You have seen most of this insertion based on the template that we have, except for the last few. More specifically, we added your clamp use case. Microservices bus was already there. The projects that we added is policy and service orchestration. There was VFC detail functional description. Thanks for, I guess it was either Yang or Mapping, they provided this detail. You see that NF versus the generic VNF manager. These are the internal components of VFC that the PTL, they are planning to, of course, put it, it's already in the code, but they are going to enhance based on whatever plan and resources that they have for R2. And then the logging analytics, it was Michael sent me the information. Now we have two slides for that with the detail. And then we have the multi-cloud adaptation. So the multi-cloud PTL, she sent me all the details about the multi-cloud adaptation and what her project is planning to do for R2. And of course, the ONAP operations manager, I got this information from the PTL. I guess this is a policy I already mentioned. This is pretty much what the PTL, they plan to do. They need to keep in mind that the set of recommendations that we have already listed, plus the guidelines that we have already highlighted. Now, as a part of the backup slide for your TSC presentation, Chris, we have, of course, the target architecture. This is for reference. And then we have the orchestration alignment. This is nothing new. We have already gone through this several times. I want to go to the conclusion. There are examples here for nested services. The concept of nested services is a very powerful tool for basically developing all the new software modules, even for R2. There are a couple of examples. You have seen this before. This is nothing new. The hierarchical structure and also the recursive structure between the top layer and the lower layer services, and the notion of the service versus resource. So the term resource is interchangeably used with service because of the recursive nature of a complex service. You have a simple service versus complex, which is defined here. We are going to have more work for R3 and beyond on this, the complex services. And then finally, we are putting this as a conclusion that we understand that there are like simple services versus complex services. And if there is a complex service, how are you going to really create, you know, the vision for the PTL, that how they can improve their code for R2. And we are trying to make sure that we leverage the work in Etsy-Mano. Plus, if there is any shortcoming there, we are hinting to certain projects that they should keep in mind that they can improve their code beyond whatever is in Mano. But for now, for R2, that is at the discretion and decision of the PTLs, okay? And then we are saying that there is a notion of the infrastructure services versus the end-to-end service. We try to clarify that the infrastructure service based on the manual specs is not necessarily completely overlapped with the notion of so-called the end-to-end service. and that's a more complex service that the last two bullet items on this page would elaborate on that, that if you are going to really use an end-to-end service with a scope of with geographical distribution and redundancy and resiliency, we need to make sure that we are not only a limited discussion to the MANO, we can also expand the scope and use the other concept that I mentioned, the notion of the complex or nested services that's already explained here. Chris, this is all we have now.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate the update, and I appreciate all the work that you and the team have put into this. Any questions on this update? What we want to do with this package is put it together for the TSC and make sure that we get a sign-off by the M2 date. So realistically, we're going to present it sometime next week at the developer virtual face-to-face.
Is it already available somewhere, or do we have to wait for the M2?
It should be on the contributions page.
Yeah. I'll send the link. Okay, this is the Tiger team, the contribution page, and also the art subcommittee page. So this is the latest copy, is dated today. I'll update it. There is an older version of this, which is dated back in like last Friday. So I put up this, actually, I upload this version shortly.
Thank you.
Any other questions or feedback? Great. Thank you, Parviz, and thank you, everybody. We'll wrap this up, and I'll be presenting it to the TSC most likely next week during the developer face-to-face. So next is Bharath with a question about music.
Thanks, Chris. I don't even need the presentation, right? So I just wanted to get the architecture committee's view on a very basic question. Now, I've been asked by some of the people interested in using music, like ONAP, HAS, and Portal, as to whether music will be exported as a service by ONAP, or would it be something that, you know, they have to treat as their own database, like any other database, like MariaDB or something, that they will import into their own system as a library. Now, I mean, I know the preferred answer to this question from the music team's point of view. We would like it to be exported as a service so that the users need not worry about deploying it, managing it, and so on, and they can simply communicate with the REST endpoints. But what are the implications of this decision? I'm not even sure this is the right place to ask, but at least I know you guys can guide me towards where I need to talk about this.
So you're asking then how the PTLs are going to take advantage, is that right?
That's the question, yes.
Yeah. For everybody else, feel free to chime in. My thought on this is it's an optional component.
Yes.
There would be a music service running in the background, and if I as a PTL wanted to use it, I would use the adapter, kind of as an SDK in front of my database, so that it replicates my database across multiple different sites. If I didn't want to use it, or I had a different mechanism, I would ignore it completely and not make any changes. So, as a PTL, I would have to make changes in my project to use the music service.
Okay, so you're basically, so for example, if somebody is using it directly, like say ONAP has, right, doesn't have a database, music is the database, so it talks directly using the REST API of music. I suppose the same model will hold, right? Music will be running as a service somewhere. It is the responsibility of music to provide sufficient endpoints in every site that people can access. And based on that, say ONAP has would access it. Is that correct?
That would be how I see it. And I open the floor for any other comments or thoughts.
I'm just trying to understand the pros and cons here a bit, because what you stated is true for either having this service or either having this as some type of reusable component. So I won't use the word library, but I think you kind of know where I go.
Yes.
I mean, what you talked about is it would then be a choice for each project to take in either way. We would have to make it, if we want this to be available to them, the projects, it would have to be available. I mean, let's say as a service, then we have to decide for the integration project that we do make this available as a service, right? But also when if we have this available as a service, I'm guessing a bit here now, I guess there's some tailoring of the configuration, maybe a schema that you have to store and so on that you would have to offer as part of that service that the projects can sort of update and also, can update. And I was going to say control the distribution, but actually that doesn't make sense. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what you mean by the schema, Steve, in the sense that every project can create its own particular key space in music that would isolate its, that'll serve as a natural isolation of its application state. Right. But outside of that, I mean, to me...
But that has to be created by the projects, that would have to be offered as part of this service, so that when a project starts up, it would have to go and ask you for that, or be able to configure that if this is offered as a service, right?
Yes, and that is already there. And for example, we are already working towards understanding how music can scale based on load. I mean, one of the advantages of running it as a service is if multiple people are using it, music can understand the load across these different and kind of auto scale and do that. And of course, the practical consideration was that, for example, now, I mean, this question came to me because ONAP has came and asked me, now, are we responsible for deploying music as part of our scripts or are you going to be doing it? And I didn't have a clear answer for that. And that's why I came to you guys. So, I mean, ideally, I would like to say the latter because that will help the use of music even more, right? One thing less to worry about. So are there any objections at all? And I'm assuming this is also an OOM thing in the sense that does OOM do something differently when something is there as a common service as opposed to just sitting as a component of somebody else?
So Bharat, my thought is that, you know, music as a service is a good thing for many projects because performance is not that critical there.
Yes.
But for some projects, performance may be important. So, one duplicate database write can be avoided if your music can be integrated with the project itself. So I would say that, you know, based on the performance, people need to make a decision. But by default, music as a service would be a good idea.
Okay, I guess that the main implications of that is that music has to be responsible for its scalability and, you know, for, you know, redundancy and so on, which is something that we have already committed towards. So, okay, cool. I mean, that's kind of the overall idea that I wanted. So, yeah, I'll talk to OM to make sure what it takes to what kind of scripts we need to support so that we can run it as a service. Well, if there are no more questions, then that's all I had to talk. Thanks for this input.
Great. Thank you. We've gone through our agenda a little bit early today. Anything else that anyone wants to bring up before we break?
I would have one request. So I'm new to this committee. Actually, we have been discussing for a couple of weeks in the 5G use case, scenario of PNF discovery and service instantiation on PNF. We have been drafting scenarios, workflows, and we then wanted to go into more details with the individual projects. We started with DCIE because PNF would probably first contact DCIE to validate and firm up the scenario, and it seems difficult to get agreement or confirmation for that scenario as long as we only work with a single project. So our request would be whether we could get 1 hour or so with some architects, hopefully from this committee here, that have a more global view on ONAP, probably who know well VNF instantiation. We would probably propose 1 or 2 sequence charts that would show instantiation, declaration, onboarding, and then instantiation of PNFs and the services on them. The question is, could we have a meeting among some experts which have a bit of broader view?
So it sounds like you're calling for a working group on this. Do you want to send email to the architecture list? And those people who are interested can sign up. And then when you're ready, I'll be happy to give you a slot on the main call. And you can come in and present and get feedback from the rest of the community. Does that approach work for you?
That's okay. So you recommend me to have a kind of breakout meetings from this, and once we are ready, we come back.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be most efficient, to get the people who are interested and focused to take a first pass, and then come back with at least a starting point, and then have a discussion with the rest of the community.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey Chris, this Parviz.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. For the target architecture, we had the concept of PNF SDK. So we should keep that in mind that if there is any need to do PNF onboarding, maybe that should be the focal point for the discussion with Sigma. Yeah, Sigma. Did that come up in the discussion?
Less. I mean, the kind of creation of PNFs was less a subject, but I mean, we are happy to use whatever is there. Right. If there is a concept of PNF SDKs, that's good. It was more the kind of the flow of control and messages when we instantiate a PNF. So, for example, we were told you cannot just install a piece of equipment and then send a message to DCAE, identify yourself. It seems that DCAE only accepts messages from kind of VNFs or services that have been instantiated before. Okay, so that are known in ONAP. There are probably a few kind of things and rules that we are not aware of, and that's why we want to validate the scenarios that we have in mind.
Can I just comment something on that there as well? I mean, that may be true today, but I think when looking at the PNF capabilities and introducing that, what it means, it might require extra changes on top of what we had. So drawing up the sequences that we have and then bringing them back here, I think it's a very valuable thing too.
We've also had a number of discussions around how we model PNFs. I believe there was some thought about doing modeling with PNFs as VNFs. Do we need to revisit that as well? Do we need to? It sounds like.
Well,
no.
Let's say the PNFs certainly have commonalities with VNFs, but there are things you don't have. I mean, PNFs simply don't use any virtual resources, right?
Right.
What else? They're implementing a service. They need to be configured. They need to be connected.
They need to be onboarded and discovered and all that, right?
Which implies that PNFs have something VNFs don't have, and that's a correlation key. I'm not sure if that's significant.
The one thing that you know, VNFs, you instantiate them and ripples through a whole scenario, and in the end, the VNF is operational, and you can start communicating with this VNF. It's not so with a PNF, because a PNF either it pre-exists or you first declare it, you instantiate it as a service or whatever, and then you connect it. But you cannot probably have a single kind of scenario flow where you instantiate a PNF and then in the end it's up and running. That's going to be difficult to my mind, or at least as much as we have seen so far. It's
difficult. Yeah, Sigma. I was in a couple of the PNF calls. Unfortunately, I couldn't follow up lately. Now, the linkage between STC, SO, and ANAI, that the normal process that you basically send the recipe from STC to SO, and SO would look into the recipe and would ping the ANAI or register with the VNF information or whatever. The PNF, as Gil said, there is a unique ID that you already agreed to that, yeah? That collation ID or whatever, the MAC ID.
Correct.
MAC address. So that is already, in the ANAI, yeah?
That's good. You see, the basically what you have is you have two different triggers of actions. You have teams in the field that install your PNF. Okay, it will start and it will try to connect to ONAP. All right, and it will present itself with an identifier. That's correct. And then you have somebody at ONAP level who would do a service instantiation. Right. Be before or after the installation. That's something we can talk about, whether you propose both scenarios or only one. So what you instantiate at ONAP level, you also want to say, well, and I want to instantiate this on a PNF with a certain identifier. Okay, and so there's a kind of a rendezvous between these two streams of actions that will, once succeeded, the rendezvous will trigger actions to really activate the service on the PNF, whatever, download the service, configure it, right?
Right. So but to address Alex's point, that rendezvous just doesn't exist for VNFs. There's nothing corresponding to that at all in the VNF world. So the question is, does that mean that VNF should not be used as the base model for a PNF or what? So I think that's the question, so, Alex, you were asking.
So possibility is that we kind of instantiate that service, okay? It doesn't get any resources. It's resourceless for the moment. The only thing that we have is an identifier. And then once the PNF kind of presents itself, probably through DCIE to ANA, we would have a second trigger from service orchestration that kind of finishes the scenario of instantiation of the PNF. So it's kind of like we interrupted. What happens in a single run through for VNFs here would happen in two steps, right? The second step being possible once the PNF actually is there, okay, ready to be configured, authenticated, ready to be configured. But okay, so that's our ideas on that, and yeah, I mean, there's certainly solutions that are more or less simple. We don't want to do it more complex than and complicated than needed, but certainly need some people who can direct us here and help us.
Yeah.
From
you know, yeah. So, yeah. I guess, Sigmar, Gil, you remember that I already mentioned that during the PNF call, for R1, when you have the virtual CPU use case, you had a PNF, you wanted to insert that into the service chain, but you played a trick, yeah? Now, you need to formalize a process for ONAP. That's how you can really handle PNF as part of your normal packaging and the modeling tools. Because to me, if you PNF is a resource, it's true, it's a physical resource, but I don't see any problem of capturing that resource as part of a PNF descriptor, like a PNFD. And then you will put that PNFD as part of your network service, the bigger template, and then you have SO to just act on it, okay? I don't see any problem with that. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So let's take this to the mailing list next. And then for those who are interested, clearly there's some interest on this call. Why don't you work offline in kind of a working group and then come back to the architecture subcommittee when you're ready. And I'll be happy to give you a slot on the agenda.
Okay.
Question on that. Is this something you guys are doing for release 2, or are you just musing on how to do this for subsequent releases? Because if it's release 2, then there's some specific things that we should probably address sooner or later on the modeling front first.
Yeah,
so it was planned for release 2. We the M1 milestone passed for all components. We had to identify the components that needed a change or that were impacted. So in the M1 meeting, for the components that were impacted, this was indicated, and that was okay. We were able to provide resources, designers, architects for that. So we would like to target R2. Yes, now that can then be improved, of course, in R3. But let's have a solution for R2. Yes.
There's some windows that are closing in terms of freezing the model, etc. And so we should probably have a chat about this at some point.
Yeah, Alex, that's you, all right. Yeah, I'm happy to have such a discussion, of course. Let me just ask the question, how can I easiest get to this mailing list?
onap-arc@lists.onap.org.
onap-arc.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. onap/-
If you go to the wiki for wiki.onap.org and look up, just search on mailing list, you'll get all the mailing lists there, how to subscribe and how to send.
I just emailed it to you, Sigmar.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Sigmar, you need to contact Kenny.
Sorry.
Sigmar, you need to contact Kenny Paul from the Linux Foundation. There's a problem with self-registering from the Nokia domain, which hasn't been resolved in the last
year. Yeah, I have an account, but I don't get any messages. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Just shoot me an email. I'll help you get in touch with Kenny.
Yeah, but now somebody told me that he sent the email list to me, right? Gildas, right?
Yeah,
is that correct?
Yeah.
Thank you, Gildas.
Yeah, sure. But it looks like there is another issue now. It's to be in that mailing list. And I was not aware of that. But
If you're having trouble with the registration, talk to Kenny. He can do it manually.
Yeah.
So I have to be in that mailing list to send into this mailing list? Is that what I understand?
Yes, better. Otherwise, you'll miss.
Yeah, it'll be easier if you do. Otherwise, the moderator will have to approve it, and that's not that time-consuming. Then you may miss some of the replies. So if you sign up for the mailing list, you're going to get the full replies.
All right. So then I need to have Kenny's exact email address.
Yeah, I will come back to you on that. I will email
Thank you.
Hey, Chris, the PNF for R2, do we need to watch that or no? That is not R2. It's R3, yeah?
It is R2. That's what we just heard.
That's what you just said. But it's component by component. They had to reach out to the various components who were affected and get buy-in So they've already done that by M1, and now they're looking for a more holistic architecture.
So we don't need to update our architecture package now, because that's probably no impact. Okay.
Right.
Well, it depends on where you deal with PNFs, right?
But, yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there are all these specific PNFs being captured somewhere? PNFs, because I'm not sure whether they would all be following the recommended architectural path, as part of the whole life cycle.
I think it's still a work in progress. I think we're at the very early stages of considering this. So let's bring the PNFs to the mailing list. Clearly this is a topic of interest, and let's continue to follow up on it.
Okay, if I call for a meeting here, once I have the list of interested people, I guess it should be around morning time in East Coast or something like this. Is that where a majority of people are reachable?
If you have people in the US, Europe, and China, then there's only a 2-hour window when everybody's awake, between 6 and 8 a.m. Pacific time. So that's, I think it's 2 to 4 UTC.
Yeah, I find that out.
Yeah.
That's 9 to 11, I guess, in Eastern time, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
I'm based in Europe. So.
Uh-huh.
Right. So thank you very much for proposing that to me. That's good.
Great.
You'll get a mail from me.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. Any final topics? Otherwise, I'll break a little early and give you back about 20 minutes in your day. Okay, thank you, everybody. This was a good call and good discussion. We'll break a little bit early, and I will talk with you next week. Bye.
Thank you.